It is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. It is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. I don't have any recollection about where I read that, but I read it many years ago. And speaking about the Lord, of course, and the way that he moves us through our life, it is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. And a lot of times the way that we relate to our own vocation, to our own place in life, our own status or situation or whatever it is often by forcing ourselves to look really hard at what our own expectations are versus how things actually played out, and to remember that perhaps there is another plan at work. Today I'm thinking about a priest who really inspires me. His name is Cardinal Lustiger, Cardinal Jean-Marie Lustiger. Has anyone ever heard of him before? Some of you may have. Cardinal Lustiger was born in Paris, and his birth name was Aaron, and he was born Jewish. He lived in Paris in the time of World War II. He was a teenager during World War II in the Nazi occupation of Paris. And when things got very dire there, his parents sent him down to live with one of their friends in the French city of Orléans, outside of Paris. And these friends were Christians. And while he was away, very sadly, Aaron's mom was captured and was taken to Auschwitz, where she died. It's likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. As a result of this, in his time in Orléans, the young Aaron Lustiger discovered a Bible. And of course, being familiar with the Old Testament, he read the New Testament for the first time. And he was captivated by this person, Jesus, whose whole life, of course, he had heard of living in Paris. You can't get away from Christian symbols, Christian culture there. But he never really met Jesus. And as he read through the New Testament over and over again, he discovered in there this truth: it is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. But what struck him about Jesus was not that Jesus would send people off, but that like a shepherd, like a friend — I have not called you servants, but I call you friends — this man Jesus walked with those whenever he sent them on a strange or a difficult road. So at the age of 14, the young Aaron was baptized at the Cathedral of Orléans, and he took the name John, after the evangelist John, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, becoming Jean-Marie Lustiger. The young Jean-Marie Lustiger would go back to Paris and meet a very upset father, of course, having lost his wife, and really regarding the conversion of his son to Catholicism as a loss as well. But his son kept forward, bridging the gap always between his family and his faith, and he eventually entered the seminary and would become a priest. And after several years as the pastor of a parish called St. Joan of Arc in Paris, he became the Bishop of Orléans. And as the bishop, he was a kind of controversial figure, shall we say. After just 1 year in Orléans, being the bishop in the very church where he was baptized, Pope John Paul II appointed him as the Archbishop of Paris, and he served as Archbishop of Paris from 1981 until 2005, so quite a long time. He became a cardinal. He became one of John Paul II's closest advisors in matters of European life and culture. But he never left the beginning point of his road. It's likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. And indeed, this was a strange and difficult road. Cardinal Lustiger did so much for Christian-Jewish dialogue, even going as far to assert — he was very famous for saying, "Je suis né un juif et je demeure un juif." I was born a Jew and I remain a Jew. Comme les apôtres demeurent juifs. As the apostles remained Jews. And he was always faithful to that beginning part of his life. And he claimed all three of those names. He said, "I have for my name Aaron the high priest, John the evangelist, and Marie pleine de grâce, Mary full of grace. I love that. And at his funeral mass at Notre Dame, they had a rabbi come, a friend of his, very close friend, the chief rabbi of Paris, stood at the doors of Notre Dame and read the traditional Jewish prayers for the dead before his body was taken into the Cathedral of Notre Dame for his funeral. I like him for many reasons, not only because he exemplifies in his life that beautiful phrase, "It is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads," but because he was really a master evangelist. He was such a good preacher, and he was very famous for, if you were in Paris, you could go to the 6 p.m. Mass on Sunday night, and the cardinal would preach, and you could go. People would go from all over the world. If you ever listen to Father Barron, Bishop Barron, talk, Bishop Barron talks a lot about living in Paris and having a real deep and kind of spiritual moment in the cathedral one night while the Cardinal Lustiger was preaching. But Cardinal Lustiger wrote a letter to the young Catholics of Paris, and this is how he ended it. He said, "The final question I will leave with you is this. Are Christians the masters of Christianity, deciding what it should be? Or is it Christ who, through his Spirit, takes hold of you and leads you where you do not want to go? Are Christians the masters of Christianity, deciding what it should be? Or is it Christ who, through his Spirit, takes hold of you and leads you where you do not want to go? It is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads." That doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he's not with you. It means that he is leading you out of a place of comfort sometimes, but always so that you could have a more full, more abundant life. That's the line right before our gospel today. He is the good shepherd. He's come that we would have life and have it in abundance. And I often hear people say, "I'm not sure if the Lord's calling me. I'm not sure if I have a vocation." Every Christian has a vocation, of course, to holiness. Every person is called to live a life of great love for the Lord, which can sound archaic and like medieval in our day today, but it's really the life of joy and of fulfillment. And as a priest, let me say this, I could be happy, I think, if I wasn't a priest, you know? I think I could have been very happy. I could be very successful. You know, maybe you could watch me instead of like Jimmy Kimmel or something. You never know. I could have been a teacher. I could have been a professor like I really wanted to be. Or I could have been a used car salesman for all I know. When I went to the seminary, I had a family member who is not particularly high on the church thing. And he said, "Well, you could be a used car salesman instead of a priest because at least you'd make money. But other than that, there's not much of a difference between priesthood and selling used cars." Okay, I'm not going to talk to you really anymore. But those who live their life in their vocation to which they've been called, which they've been created for, you know, I firmly believe that my heart was created to be a priestly heart. I really believe that. And I might have been happy in some sense if I wasn't a priest, but I think that as a priest, I'm actually fulfilled and at peace with how my life goes, you know? That a vocation is the way by which you will be the most naturally happy, the most naturally virtuous. Because otherwise, and you've lived this way, I think, but otherwise it's like those Thomas the Tank Engine trains, you know? When you why won't they stick together? Because you have the wrong magnets next to each other. And you can make them touch, you can force them to touch, but it's not going to be natural and it's not going to last. But to find that thing in life where you really click, man. And when we meet our spouses, a lot of times that's what people say. "With this person, it finally clicked. With this person, I finally felt I was with them. It was natural. It was easy." That's a beautiful thing to have. But if you're wondering, like, what is your vocation in life? Maybe, is it to priesthood? I can't imagine that there's not at least one or two young men in this church now who the Lord is calling to be a priest. I know that there are young women in this church who the Lord has called to be a sister, a bride of Christ, one of the highest privileged forms of life. It's not that the Lord has stopped calling, It's that one, the world has stopped listening, and on the other side, those who have these vocations, they live with glum looks on their faces sometimes, right? Pope Francis, very early in his pontificate, said, "We don't need any more gloomy nuns," which is true. We have to live life worthy of the calling we've received and then live it with great gratitude and joy, even though it's likely in the moment you are walking a strange and difficult road. But is it me who makes up my life, or is it Christ? Is it Christ who knows me better than I know myself, who takes hold of me and leads me maybe where he doesn't want me to go, where I don't want to go, rather, but where he wants me to go, where he knows that this fullness, this natural happiness will finally take place? I didn't want to leave North Central. That was the hardest part about going to seminary, was leaving North Central. But I went, and I loved it. You have to pray every day. Jesus is the one who calls you, so he's the one you should be talking to the most. But then each of us has to develop this habit of reflection. Stop doom scrolling. Stop looking on TikTok late into the night to avoid your inner depth. Stop doing that. Stop running away from interior reflection, identifying your feelings and thoughts and desires. Practice giving of yourself. A lot of us are stingy with our time because we don't want to get sucked into something, or we don't want to give ourselves away too fully or deeply. But hold the door for people. Walk slowly with people who are slower than you. Pick up the tab every now and then. Clean the table for your parents. Notice that they're done eating and bring the dishes over to the sink yourself. Unload the dishwasher when you see the clean light is on, and don't just drop your cereal bowl into the sink. But more than anything, live your life now to the full. Don't wait. When I'm in my vocation, then I'll be happy. When I figure out God's plan, then I'll be happy. I think we'd be a lot happier if we just started to recognize what it is that brings us life now. My priest friends make fun of me sometimes for coming back from my sabbatical and loving to watercolor paint all of a sudden. But I love it. I had no idea I could do that. I had no clue. And now I'm selling them on Etsy and getting rich. So, fine. Those guys can drive all their beater little cars, and I'm going to be in my Volkswagen, and that'll be that. I was reading on last Tuesday, I was looking for something, and I came across this little prayer that I actually was not even looking for. But it's about priesthood, and it says this. It's the priest speaking to Jesus. "Here I am, Lord. Here is my body. Here is my heart. Here is my soul. Grant that I may be big enough to reach the world, strong enough to carry it, and pure enough to embrace it without wanting to keep it. Grant that I may be a meeting place, even a temporary one, a road that does not end in itself, because everything to be gathered in me will lead to you. Grant that I may be big enough to reach the world and strong enough to carry it, but pure enough to embrace it without wanting to keep it." That was Tuesday morning that I found that. And do you know that as I was taking my nap on Tuesday afternoon, I woke up from my nap because, of course, I had my phone on Do Not Disturb, you know, and I saw that I had a missed call from a phone number that says no caller ID. That is either two people on the planet. It is either Father Jared pranking me that he is the bishop calling, or it is the bishop calling. There was a voicemail. "Father Ryan, this is Bishop Hicks." Your heart sinks, doesn't it? And he said, "Call me back as soon as you can." Oh, Lord. You know, what did I do? You know when your boss calls you and you think, "He knows I burned that building down." You've never burned a building down, but that's where your mind goes, right? "Oh my God, he knows I hit that lady with my car." I never hit a lady with my car, but your mind does these crazy things when the boss calls. So I called him back, and he said, "You'll be leaving Peter and Paul in July." And he said, "Are you okay with that?" I said, "No." He said, "Too bad. I've got the hat and you don't." So July 1st, I'm moving to Elmhurst, to Visitation Parish in Elmhurst. not as the pastor, as the parochial vicar, which I am now. I work in the basement, basically. That's tremendous news, because I don't want to be a pastor. But it's terrible news, because I don't want to leave you. And I want you to know, everybody always asks when we move, did you ask to move? I didn't ask to move. And I want you to know that I asked to stay. I asked to stay. But he reminded me what I'll remind you. Today, April 21st, 7 years ago, I knelt down before Bishop Conlon at my diaconate ordination, and I put my hands into his hands, and he looked me in the eyeballs and said, do you promise respect and obedience to me and to my successors? And I said, I do. So that's the way it goes, you know? It's likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads. And leaving the people that I love is extremely difficult. But the good news is we have 2 months still. We're going to have a 2-month-long wake. It's going to be very fun, I promise you. And I'm not dying. I'm just moving to Elmhurst. I know some of you are saying, what's the difference? Elmhurst is just a less Naperville. Do you know what I mean? May I be pure enough to embrace it without wanting to keep it, and grant that I may be a meeting place, but a temporary one, a road that does not end in myself, because everything gathered in me will lead to you, O God. So I just want to leave you with this, that priesthood is an amazing life. Priesthood is the strangest life you can imagine, actually. It's very strange. It's awesome. It's weighty. It's bizarre. It's unpredictable. But at the same time, it's somehow fulfilling. And if you feel the Lord is asking you to follow him in this way, you better just do it. Because you can run, but you can't hide. That's the thing. But it's the best life. I don't know what else to say. It's the best life. But it's things like this that make it so difficult sometimes. Pure enough to embrace it. May I be a temporary meeting place. Do you know the privilege of that? To be a temporary meeting place. People come to me and they don't find me. They find the Lord through me. That's all you've ever wanted. A year ago on the fourth Sunday of Easter, I gave that homily about how it's not about the priest, but it kind of is. Remember that? We had all these priests leaving, new priests coming. Please pray for me as I begin this transition. And I'll pray for you every day, of course. And I'll just say this, that there is no other priest coming to replace me, because there are no priests. There are not enough to come here. So we need more. And the Lord is calling men in this room to be his priests. I know it. And the good news for that is that there's no one else coming to take my place. So you'll notice my absence even more. It is likely he will lead you by strange and difficult roads, and it's a strange and difficult road toward joy and happiness. Never forget that.